Okay. All right. Well, let's just... Is anybody fishing, or should
I saw somebody down there.
Yeah, did they catch anything? So, Frank, when does the... Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. I'm calling you,
Jack.
And I'm looking at Jack. What does that tell you? Jack, what's the latest on the... unit down here on
kayak launches.
Right.
They're going to come out and check it out next Tuesday, and then it's going to go in the late March, early April.
Oh, right.
And once it's in, hopefully we'll have all the signs up so people know how to use it. And we'll probably have a demo day, a couple of demo days, but we'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, how fun. That's great.
And a launch party.
There you go.
Champagne, maybe.
More opportunities for parties. Who
knew?
All right, let's go take a quick look, and then we'll hike on down. Oh, let's see. We have Rhonda. Do you have information on the playground? Can you just update us? Okay.
They're still backed up on the job.
Okay.
The rain and the wet. They have some. Project that they're doing, we're hoping by the end of next month they'll get started.
We'll break ground.
We tried to get a deadline of April 25th, but
okay,
it's weather dependent. So,
right.
So. By the end of April.
Great.
Yeah.
So this will all be new.
Yep.
Fabulous. So we're really moving ahead in this stuff. Okay. Well, that tells me we need this natural playground going in. She's already found the first kind of thing to do.
So far, the playground looks like garbage.
Thanks, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
The playground looks like garbage.
So,
technical
term. Usually he's in there, but he's not in there.
And what owl is that?
I don't know. Brilliant.
Broward owl.
What's that in the water?
Would that be a barred owl up there?
Yeah.
That way it's garbage, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm sure he's hunting in that meadow as well. Where were you with Bill today? At Banshee?
Oh, no, it's the Lee Bird Senior Center.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, we have about 20 people. Sitting there at 11 o'clock.
Wow. Nice. Should we just kind of walk? I don't know if I want to go down there. I'm just curious. Thought I might just go over here and look.
How many of you did you have?
Got dinner?
Well, we had some expensive dinner, but we threw them back.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Good for
that.
You.
I've heard that before.
Well, we got the video.
Oh! You got the video.
Yeah, I throw it in the court. They look at evidence.
All right.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Oh, we're living the dream.
All right. We're living the dream.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, that's for sure.
Already they're fishing holes.
We didn't have any
fish. They said catch and release.
Oh.
Frank said he heard that before.
Mommy,
is that? Actually, it is catch and release.
Good to
see you, sir. I think I got some of you already.
Oh, no, you don't want to fish with me.
So. So in this area, over time, you can't really see it from here, but when we walk up, you'll see it. I don't know, 15, 20 feet in, there's a berm that's snaking its way here, and eventually it'll come all the way down. All the way and sort of embrace this whole shoreline.
So do you want the berm to continue down this way?
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to continue it down, and that's sort of our last line of defense before we get to this erosion area. And everything that we're planting will be on inside that area until there's a larger project that will mitigate the erosion along here. But that takes a whole lot of partnerships with the state, county, federal, all kinds of stuff that hopefully Jack will really speak. But Yay, Jack. So we've already started the planting. We've started the berm. That's using material from the park and from the golf course. And I'll repeat this again, and hopefully you'll repeat this to your fellow, community members, is that whatever is disturbed or happens in the park stays in the park. We don't take anything off-site. And we've actually been taking mulch and materials from your community and mulching and using it here. And it's not only just to try and save money, labor. There's a lot of labor to do that, and materials, but also to use the park as a cycling system, as it should be, and try to build the soil. And it doesn't matter how much mulch you rototill in here, doesn't matter how much fertilizer you put in here, you're not going to change what's happening to the soil unless you build it. And that's Mother Nature's key. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to build soil over time here. And then one of the things, we've lost some trees along this edge, right? Now we have this nice exposed edge. So we're going to bring in an aggressive plant called, it's a grass, and it's called river oaks. It has a couple other names too. But it's aggressive, and the only place it really grows is along the Potomac River and its tributaries. That's its native, natural community. So we're going to mimic that. Our daughter's studying mimicry here, biomimicry. So we're going to do that. And that grass is very aggressive. It's beautiful. It's like little flat oat heads that are spun gold. And I'm not kidding. They're absolutely gorgeous. Do not plant them in your garden. It's like bamboo. You won't get rid of it. Here is its natural habitat, right? And it will, and the beauty of that, right? I'm saying that because it's hard to dig out. What do you want here? You want something hard to dig out that's going to hold that soil. So we're going to plug this, see how it goes, and then we may come through and plug it again. Once we get enough in there, it'll just reseed itself, and it'll be a nice hold here.
You're going to do that this year?
Yeah, we're going to start it this year. So that'll start through here and be really pretty.
Does it stay by the river, or is it going to work its way up?
It may work its way up a little bit, but we'll hold it. When we get that berm coming along, it has to stay on the other side. It has to keep it. It doesn't have very good manners, but we'll enforce them. But it's going to go down. It's going to go down the water too. So we'll start that process here this spring. Okay. Well, why don't we take a look and just look at the berm that's being built? When the golf course, we had stripped turf for the bioswale, so we rolled that up. And we started the berm with that. In the golf course, they went through and, they aerated the soil. They pulled all those plugs out. Guess what? We got a nice big load of that. So that started to work on the berm, too. We'll just keep that going and move that berm along. Now, the crews, the land crews saw that and thought, oh, this is great. This is where I'll dump all the leaves. We'll make another berm. And I came down one day and I thought, oh, my gosh, the berm's all the way down here. Was all leaves. What do you think happened to the leaves when it flooded? Flooded away. But they had the right idea. They just, they're trying, which is great. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and walk on down. Talk about the owl a little bit here, I think.
I say it's a girl.
Yeah, if it's nesting. If it's nesting like that, I would think that. So, is everyone aware of your resident owl up here in the tree? Good. Good. What do you think that owl thinks of the meadow? Happy hunting grounds. Yeah, happy hunting grounds. I'm sure of it. There you go. Wow. Ooh, I wonder if anybody's living up there.
Yeah, I was that surprised.
Yeah, really.
I think
someone had a picture of it too. I can't remember if it was.
Oh. That looks like there's some new activity up there inside that hole up there. And one person said they thought they saw raccoons or something. So, I mean, it could be. Okay. So, can you all see the berm here? Yeah, so this is where the berm ended, and it goes all the way down and around. So it's a pretty good-sized thing. And then we have the buds. You know, we looked at this last month at the buds. They're still pretty small, but they're certainly more prominent now. So there are all sorts of little wisps of, just little saplings in here. They're going to be a whole host. They go all the way down to the end of the berm here on this side of... all kinds of different shrubs and trees. And I'll have to see when they come out and leaf. I'll actually be able to remember which species. But we have a lot of spice bush, which deer don't particularly care for. I mean, they'll nibble on them, but most of these are shrubs, so, you know, they'll come back up. And we have some black chokeberry and red chokeberry, some winterberry, which is, you know, a beautiful holly. And then there's a variety of small trees that'll be very aggressive and have good root structure here. And that's what we want, again, is to try to hold the soil. And the idea of the berm is not to stop the water, you know, the water comes up and floods. It's not to stop the water so much, but the scouring. And you can see, you know, what's happening here. But we're starting to get a little bit of deposition where it's going to, you know, as the water flows back down, as long as we don't have a big, you know, drip current. It'll slow down, it'll start to deposit material. And that's what we want. We don't want it to, you know, we don't want these giant cracks happening. And once the shrubs are really starting to be established, then we bring in the ground layer, right? Of bluebells and ferns and grasses and things that take this kind of flooding here. And then this will just be beautiful, right? This will be a feature that you want to come see. And then over time, right, there's not going to be any mowing here. And then over time, mowing will be reduced up here as we bring in more equipment. And hopefully the natural playground will go through here. And that's where some of the, you know, the wood stumps, wood logs will build some features through here that kids can play on and enjoy themselves. Okay. All right, well, let's walk down here, and then I'm hoping to walk up around the slope.
Is there anything we can do to save that sycamore?
Well, you need to have an arborist down here. And I would say the carob tree, or Davy tree. You need a real expert to look at that. I don't know, Richard. But I would think that it's worth looking at. You know? Yeah, that's the beauty. There's the big one.
This is going a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah, see how much of these guys are grown? So these are dogwoods. This is shrubby dogwood.
Oh, wow.
And they're what's so funny is just a ton of buds here. You can come over and just touch the bottom. You just see they look like little deer hooves or something.
So the other news is...
It's taller than me.
Yeah, it's taller than you. This thing was teeny tiny.
Because I got my deer feet. And I know we got 8 hours before. They're going to get sprayed after this presentation.
Good.
She's going to tell me how to spray them. But, you know, spraying a stick, I'm trying to figure out how you spray a stick. Once a deer finds it, they'll just eat everything.
Yeah, they're going to nibble on this. But these are shrubs. So we're going to let these go. They've grown a lot. Look how red they are, right? So this is going to be a nice big shrub right here. But we'll let these go, see how they do. And then, you know, we need to come in and... You can see how there's been some, right, from the winter, what's happened here. And then we're going to come next year, we'll see, and cut them down. And that will make them really shrub out. But we'll let them go the first year or two. And the birds will just attack these when the berries come out. So they'll have sweet little white flowers. They look like dogwood flowers, but very small. And they get big, though. They can get, like, 15 feet tall. They won't do that here because of the sun, but they're really quite beautiful. Glossy sort of leaves. And then you have nice nice color, too, in the fall. And then we have a different guy here, and you see they're just filled with buds. They're teeny tiny, but you can see them. And they'll come out. And then there's a whole, you know, all along here, they just look like little sticks in here, right? But they're all starting to, next time I come, they'll be budding out. They'll be opening. One of the plants we have here is American hazelnut. That's our hazelnut. So that's the true hazelnut here. So that there's a group of those in here. Regarding the berm, I've had a couple of questions about are we going to plant on it, and we're not. We're not going to do that because in case we need to add to it or mulch it, and we want that to be a barrier. And once you plant, you know, I don't think we should invest any funds on planting something you might have to, you know, fix, you know.
Yeah. I say, you stand right here.
Right at Leesburg.
And you look that way. You go up about 10 to 15 trees up there. That's all our land.
Parkland.
That's all our land. And the basically, it was a... previously a place of refuge, you know, biodegradable refuge up there. They've gone to that. They don't dump anything there. But all that land up there is part of our park. And it's a case of clearing it out and doing something with it. But it goes up. I'll go up and stand up there next to the stake and you can look in. But this is the one time you can really see this land.
Yeah, that belongs to the park.
Yeah.
That all belongs here. Okay. Anybody know this tree? Yeah, this is a trick question. I asked it last time.
It's my favorite tree.
It's your favorite tree. Yes, it's a box elder. You can tell which is a maple, and you can tell that because it has opposite buds, opposite leaves, opposite limbs. And the other way you can tell that is see this green stem? All its new growth is always a green, this shiny, waxy green thing. They always grow, or almost always grow, along watercourses. And they look kind of messy, right? Like somebody needs to do their hair kind of thing. They always look like that because they're always suckering for the water. They're responding to the water. So this is normal. It's not a tree I'd ever use in a tailored, you know, you'd never see this in my, right, you'd never see this in a conventional landscape design plan. However, and you don't really need to even do it here. If you have a few present, we just encourage them to grow because they really hold the soil. But like many plants along the water, they're fast growing and they don't live very long. But like this and a river birch, even the sycamore, they grow big and fast. But these are really valuable trees. Watch when we come down later in the year when the seed pods are out. They're like ash trees, right? They're just filled with seed pods. And their flowers are fairly inconspicuous, like most maples are. But right now all the maples are out, all the early pollinators. You can't see them because they're up above, but they're all there. They're all up there, these early insects. And you won't see the insects too much here, but this is a really important plant, really important tree.
How long do river birches live?
you know, maybe 25, 30 years.
Big.
Yeah. They're sort of a pioneer plant.
I live in Round Hill in the Stoneleigh area.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Round Hill.
And I had some massive ones. That, yeah. I've had baby trees months, but they've never seen them so big.
Yeah. So they like it there.
They must like it there. But this winter, we had so much damage.
Yeah.
That they had to cut them. And now I'm really nervous because where they had to, where they broke and they cleaned them up. There's
stuff here.
Water's coming out. Is that okay?
Water's coming out of the
tree. The water,
a sap.
But I thought it wasn't as sticky. It's a little watery. But
I don't know.
Nothing we can do, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But they're very adaptable trees. So you'll probably get
it. Be okay.
You'll probably be okay. Okay, so some of you might want to come with me. We're just going to hike up the little rise there, where we'll start to amend this area. We'll start to work on that this year.
I'll walk up to the stake.
You want to walk up to the stake? And we'll just talk about that. Whoever doesn't want to go, we meet you on the other side. So you have to have boots to go across, or just know you might get a little muddy.
Leave carefully.
Yeah, hose off. Okay. So, where Jack is, that's how far the park goes, where before we used to think it ended at the lane there, right? It goes here. And the flags are, you can see it's sort of a circle, right? So this is going to be an open glade. We'll let that be turf. So you can sort of gather here, it's going to be open. And then all around it is going to be shrubs and grasslands. So you'll feel this sort of enclosure here. And then you'll be able to walk up and over.
So our park is...
Yep, goes up past those trees. Yep, just past those trees.
Okay.
So let's take a walk up on what we call the pond overlook. And this is basically what the... You know, I may change it a little, but this is basically going to be the trail up. Oh, and we got the moose. Yeah. And you can see these maples are just, these are new, and these are just starting to open. And the idea is, of course, we have people playing golf here, but the idea is we'll have a bench sitting back here. So you can sit up here and you have a whole nother, right? You have a whole nother view, which I think is beautiful. So part of the master plan of the park is to increase circulation. So where do we find that, right? So we change up, we add this through the meadow, right? Now you have alternate ways to walk. So it's not just coming down the path. Now you can do a circulation, you have some options. And that'll just change over time as we add more and more of these features of the garden. This whole area down here, we'll clean this out. And you see that beautiful sycamore, we'll add a few more, and we'll clean out some of this, you know, invasive stuff, and hopefully change up some of the form of what's native in there, and then we'll start to add plants, you know, through this whole area. A lot of big shrubs. They may not be big when we put them in, but they will over time. And then grasses and some flowers. And I say that because restoration plants, usually you're just trying to get those roots in and get those roots, you know, that's what we're trying to buy. But it really depends on budget, right? Do I want 20 plants versus 3 big ones? What are we doing here? So it's just sort of playing that, weighing those different aspects of what's happening. And of course we see what wasn't here before and which will be thriving when we change the habitat here is the bluebird boxes, right? And they've fledged, I don't know, Frank, some of them fledged 3 or 4 times, the bluebird boxes last year.
Well, they can.
Yeah. Yeah. At my house, they go, last year they did four times in different boxes. Wow. Four fledgings. So, and four birds, you know, four nestlings each time. Wow. So 12 birds. I mean, that's amazing. Wow. Just in my garden, we have three or four boxes. Nice. So what you're doing here is really a big change. And when we put on these trees, these small things, and we're playing down here, well, we're working, but it's kind of like play. There were bluebirds in here hunting the whole time. They weren't doing that before you put these trees in. You know, a little bit, but there weren't any boxes, right? There were no cavities for them to nest, and there were no plants to attract, or very few plants to attract the insects. So that was really fun to watch.
I was just speaking of bird boxes, the mm-hmm. bird box. Yeah. There was a large box down by the river. What bird?
Wood duck.
Okay.
But we've never had, I've got two of them. One there and then one.
Frank, are you okay? Oh, you need to get that out.
I wasn't looking down.
That's my question. I want to put some nests out. Nests. You know, is it too early? Like they're made out of like straw, bamboo-y, natural stuff, and they say put them out in the trees and birds will use them. Is that true? And if it is it too early? Or
kind of basket-looking things.
Certain birds will take advantage of that. Yeah.
Maybe that doesn't sound too good though. That's
maybe. And try it. And now's the time because they're going to start coming in. And as soon as they migrate in, they start competing for territory and looking for that. So try it. And then just keep an eye on maybe a little chickadee will take advantage of it.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
One of the things I want to say about the bioswale, for those of you who are new and haven't heard me say this before, we plant, you know, we built it, and then we watch it. It functions correctly. It has check dams. There are little bridges across, but those are check dams. So it's holding and slowing the water as it filters through. When we put our first plants in, I happened to put a few in that had some flowers on it. That day, hummingbird came there.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, there would not have been a hummingbird there if we hadn't done that, right? I mean, that's...
But they come from nowhere.
Well, yeah. They're here. Yeah. They're looking for opportunity. That was very encouraging to me.
So
yeah.
What else can we plant to help them?
Oh, you can just Google online Virginia native plants for hummingbirds. Yeah. You'll get several lists. Yeah. So see what might suit your...
They will come.
Yeah, they'll come. And they are resident. Some of the species are resident. They spend the winter here. So you can, you know, if you get a heated, a little battery, I think they're battery-operated feeders, they may even come to that. But there's a whole online community to learn about that. And here comes our cardinal coming through.
Yeah.
So the more plants we put in, the more insects we're attracting, the more birds that are going to be here, right? It's just going to be a more dynamic. And, of course, the butterflies, the dragonflies, the amphibians. We have some nice little amphibians down there singing already. I've seen at the end of the bioswale one day after a rain, I was out here the next day, there's a whole flock of little sparrows playing in the water. It was so sweet. I wish there were some kids out that day, you know? And then, of course, you know, we can look at the pond from here, and who knows, maybe one day the golf course will agree to plant around this. That'll reduce, you know, with openings, because that'll reduce the geese population, which is problematic for water quality. And we always have those herons here, but we will get a whole lot more if we could. You know, but that's something to work on over time. Maybe we'll influence them. So, let's see. Anybody, can we hike across here, you guys? All right, be careful. It's rocky. We're going to put sort of a bridge down below here, a boulder bridge that you can hop across, probably right down there. I'll probably change this. Okay, so we'll just go slow through here.
stepping on a rock.
Yeah, better to step between them. There you go. Got it. Oh,
I'm fine.
You're okay? All right. Oh, you know what? There's a thing right in front of you. Sorry. Someone has to crash. Yeah.
Thank you. I was tottering there on that.
All right, so now we know why we need a boulder bridge.
Thank you, thank you.
Right? We need a couple of big flat boulders.
Oh, thanks. The knees don't bend the same way.
Yeah, and it's a little, you know, it's a little. All right, now you will be the experts about the boulder bridge when it comes. Woo! You're right? Yeah. Whoops.
I got it. I'm good.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Got it.
All right. Yeah, you got it, I think.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, Frank. Show us how it's done.
Yeah. Woo! All right.
Did you get that? No.
Okay, so how many people vote for the boulder bridge?
Yeah. Safer boulder.
Yeah, we'll probably put it right down here and we'll be able to skip across. Okay, so we're back to the park. The little pink flower flags are for those of you who haven't walked up there. That's where a bench will be. And if you haven't gone up there, just go. It's a slight rise, but it makes all the difference.
You bumped into something
there. Okay. So when we were out here last time, these guys were just starting to pop open. And now look at them. Aren't they beautiful? So what is this? Anybody tell me?
Dogwood.
Right. This is our native dogwood. And these guys behind me, lots of buds. I know you can't see them unless you come up close. But there are just a ton of buds on these. And this is this little swale. This is a cultivar. I don't put too many in. But this is Itea, Virginia Sweet Spire. So the flowers will be these white spires. And guess what? Sweet smelling, right? Nice sweet odor. So come through here when this is up. And I put them in the swale because they like their feet to be a little wet. So it'd be very pretty when it comes up. And then they turn it like a bronze color in the fall. We had some plants that failed along the edge here where Meg is right now. And they're very hardy plants. And I noticed when they were dying. I've never seen that before. We had a turf strip here. We thought that would be good, just as a boundary. But I think when they came through, as they're going to come through now, the grounds crew, and they put down pre-emergent. They put down some chemicals. I think it splashed over on those plants because I've never seen those. Those are sumacs, and they're really hardy. So that was a lesson learned, and that's why we took the strip away. We just decided, you know, we don't want to battle that, right? I mean, that's a good investment. So we'll replace those this spring, and they are the plants that are coming on this little brown. You can see the mulch is different here, and they have a ton of buds. Let's go look at those real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. And these are called Grow Low Fragrant Sumac. So again, sweet spire, sweet odor, fragrant. It's in the leaves, so you'll touch it. And you can see all the buds on these guys. They're just starting to open. If you get close, they look like little cones.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These are fabulous plants for full sun, degraded area, on a slope. They will cover this slope when we're done. So a couple failed here, two failed. We'll add those in. This will cover this. It'll be a tangle. In the winter, it's absolutely beautiful. When the snow hits it, it's like lace. Mm. But in the fall, every single color you can imagine on a plant is on this plant. It's just going to be on fire and beautiful.
And the name again?
This is Fragrant Sumac. And it's a grow low. It's a dwarf variety. So and I will put at some point, somewhere, I think on the other side, some full species. And they can grow 10 feet or taller. in a perfect circle in the right area. Like if I have them out on their own, they'll be a perfect dome. It's hilarious. Again, same, everything's the same except for the size. And then these will put out in a year or two some beautiful little fuzzy red berries. So pretty. And that'll be filled with this. So they're a little, you know, native plants tend to be a little subtle, but they pack a lot of punch when you're looking for ecological services. So that's why I particularly like them. There's a little damage on this one, but that's, it'll come right back. So we'll be looking for that. We'll put some more up by the entrance, and once they take hold, you can see this is just filled with buds here, right? So we'll just watch it, and they look like clubs. You know when you play cards and the clubs? Oh, yeah. I can already smell this. Here, let's pass this around. Just pass that around. Deer don't care for this plant at all.
Okay.
And you can smell why. Generally, deer do not care for anything aromatic because it has an oil. There are oils that cause that fragrance. So that's why these type of plants are fabulous. Can you smell it? Isn't that beautiful? Some people hate that, but I find it very clean, like astringent. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyways, I love this plant, and it'll do well now that we're not going to have, we're not going to have any competition with chemicals. Okay?
How many years for these tree protectors?
Well, you can see, look at this guy. Look, he's already up.
When do the tree protectors come off?
I may take, if these guys are good and hardy, look how big. This was just a little whip, and it's already up. Yeah. So I'm trying to, the reason is we don't want the deer, right? We can leave it on here. They're made to kind of zip open. You can leave it for years. But I think this year we'll start to take some of them off, and we're going to put three pieces of rebar around the larger trees so they can't get their antlers in. And so as they get a little bit bigger and they're a little bit more hardy, you know, like it's going to stand up on its own, then we'll take them off. And the rebar, it just melts in. You don't really see it. You know, they rust out and you can't really see it. So that's the trick. So now this one's protected. So the larger ones, I'll take those away and just put three rebar around it. And it's just enough so they can't get their antlers in there. And that's what we're trying to protect with the big ones. The small ones, we're trying to protect the whole plant and the buds. So now they'll start to come out. So it's, you know, it's a restoration project. So we have to tolerate this kind of thing. But they're doing their job. We've only had a few trees that we've lost and those shrubs, but everything else is in. This year we'll put some flowers in down below, so it'll be a little showier. Yeah. So we're going to bump up the aesthetics this year. And all of this mulch material comes from your community. We paid for the labor, but we didn't pay for the material. And if you step up here, you walk in here, you tell me what it feels like. Feels to me, it feels like a sponge. That's what a woodland should be.
Yep.
Yeah? Does it feel kind of spongy? Yeah. So we'll just keep adding this in until the plants are mature enough that they're dropping their leaves. And we want all the leaves to stay in here. No blowing the leaves away. Blow them in. So that's the point of this. So we'll see this change up, get a little more colorful this year. We'll add a few more trees. We're losing the ashes here. You know, you have a couple of ash trees here. So we're going to plan for their demise. We've already had, what, Richard, two trees come out? I think two ashes? I don't know. Yeah, they're all going to go now.
Because of the
boar? Yeah.
Why is that?
What?
Just they're aging?
No, there's an exotic insect. The ash, it's an Asian ash borer, and it's come and it's killing. It's like when all the elms went because an introduced disease came, introduced insect. Yeah, it's really too bad because they're really important plants in the ecosystem services. You have some great plants here, though. You have this little group right here. Those are sassafras. And I planted a few more. And then that tree up there that's leaning, if you go close, it looks like it has pimples all over it. That's called Celtis occidentalis, or hackberry. And it almost looks like it looks like dangling cherries. And the birds, you won't see the fruit on that. They come in.
take it.
In a day and take it.
But it's healthy.
It's healthy, and we planted more of those. I planted more of these. So we might see some fruit on these guys maybe this year.
Hmm.
Might see some good pollination. And then we have red buds in here, some maples. This tree right here is a... it's a black... it's Nissa sylvatica. I go back and forth, right? from Latin to English. It's black gum. Mm. And that's a beauty. It's called a signal tree. And the reason is it's one of the first to turn color. So there's some thought. Is that flagging or signaling the birds to migrate?
Huh.
So, you know, there's some... Yeah, it's called black gum. So hopefully over time we'll just see this become a richer and richer environment.
That's the plan.
The wire support.
Are you
afraid of that could hurt deer that are just walking, like could choke them or...
No, they know exactly what they're doing. They're so aware of the environment. And if that's stable now, because we had some big winds come through, you know.
It's sagging.
Yeah. So we have, the crew hasn't been out here yet, so we'll be coming out and kind of playing with that. We'll see. No, that won't hurt a deer.
Okay.
The time they're going to get hit is when they're trying to get over a fence when someone's scaring them, you know.
Poor babies. We have deer. Like I live on almost 3 acres, and there's...
You probably have your own private herd out there.
We do, actually. Yeah. Our neighborhood does. Is it wrong to feed them?
It's wrong to feed them.
It is, but you're saying the birds have taken away so much of their natural...
Okay, so the deer are out of balance. We have so many because there's no apex predator.
Okay.
So they're actually... It's really actually sad for them because they've eaten all they can and they're hungry.
It makes me sad.
Okay, but we need to reduce their ability to reproduce.
Well, what a way to go, though.
Well, yeah, it's horrible. If we had a predator, then that would take the sick.
What kind of predator did they used to be?
Wolf. And, you know, wolf. Now we're getting coyotes, but coyotes pretty much can only take the fawns. So, and then we, our cars act as, and hunters act as predators. It's not enough. The carrying capacity of deers is something like 25 deer for, I don't know, 40 square miles.
Wow.
We're way,
we're 15 and 20.
Right. So there are some great programs online if you want to know about who's doing the research and this kind of stuff. It's called Black Forest Preserve in New York, and they have drones, and they're watching every deer and every coyote, which are the predators that have moved in, and watching what's happening with weather and temperature. They can tell you what are the optimal conditions to reduce a herd.
So they can survive and thrive, right? I mean,
well, yeah, of course. We don't want them to go away, but they're out of balance, so they're, and they eat everything. So when they eat everything, who else can live here?
That's what I feel better. I'm seeing them getting very thin.
And
all that.
I
don't feed them.
Yeah, you don't.
But I would if it was the right thing to do, but I'm afraid because I don't want to interfere. You know, and I'm just wondering what your answer would be to that.
Is no, because they reduce, birds don't reduce the habitat of others. Deer reduce the habitat of others. So when they eat all the food, there's no opportunity for insects or birds or anyone else to live there, and that's the problem. So they're a high-level prey animal, which their function is to feed others, right? They take, and to fertilize. Nobody's eating them. So they've eaten everything, and now it's out of balance. It is sad. But
especially because it's so slow. I mean, it's for them. They live for years.
We've got somebody's going to take on that legislature and change the rules.
To move in.
Change the, you know. Yeah. Bring in wolves. You know what? And or make it, you know, deer food. My dogs love venison. I mean, that's their favorite food. If we could get that into that cycle and people are out harvesting them, then we have a chance. But until we reduce their numbers, we don't.
So,
you're welcome. They're an awful lot of deer. All right, folks. Any other questions or comments? Or what a great day. Yeah, thanks for taking us out. So next time, hopefully, we'll come out and you'll see we've made some changes. We'll be out here with the crew and we'll be installing a few things, changing a few things. We'll, you know, cut down the meadow a little bit. Maybe we'll see some growth. We're going to get some warm weather and rain now, so we'll see that, okay? All right, great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Oh, I hope that worked out. I moved it around a lot.
Oh, no,
you know what I mean? I went like this.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Okay. All right, we'll see you all online.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Hi. Oh, yeah.